You know, when I tell this story of mine, I wonder whether I will have a listener left after telling it. It's shocking, it's disappointing, and yet I hope you will see inspiration from God in it and encouragement. If you wouldn't mind, send me a note if you still support this ministry. I'm not talking about finances now. Send me a note if you're encouraged, if you're helped, if you want to give me a little bit of an uplift. Please do so. It's always good to hear, once you've made an open statement like this, that there are still people who believe in what you're doing. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me. You're listening to a broadcast on the gospel explained by Paul in the book of Romans, but I'm not there right now. I'm just telling my story for a couple of weeks more, and after that, we will resume in that glorious message that Paul gave us about Jesus. So, listen in. Well, you can imagine that the loss of the counseling ministry after many years earlier, the loss of my pastoral ministry made me look, well, I say look like a real loser, but an actual loser, no doubt about it. It was a shock to everybody. My denomination had majorly supported this ministry back then, that is the counseling ministry, in a major way. And it was an embarrassment to them. It was an embarrassment above all to my wife, my ex-wife now, and of course to my children in a way that I don't really know. They don't talk about it a lot. It happened when they were quite young, but I suppose word was spread at school. I remember the chairman of the board that I had then, Duncan Ever. He was a representative of the denomination I was in. He came up from Washington to Reading, Pennsylvania, and he said, "Colin, I've had a sleepless night, and I've been trying to think whom we've sinned against." I was first of all very moved that he said "we." He didn't want to accuse me in some diminishing, demeaning way. He joined me in my sin and my failure, and I will be forever grateful for Duncan Ever for that, because it was like Jesus. It was like Jesus joining in my sin. You know, Jesus does not condemn us. He joins in the sin and takes the great humiliation and judgment for it. But the second thing which that moved me by what Duncan Ever said was whom we have sinned against. Well, whom have we sinned against? That's quite a question. And he made a list, and I made a list. We went through that list. It was, of course, against God. It was against the angels. It was against my counselees, some of them. It was against my wife. It was against people in the ministry that were the counseling ministry that were looking up to me. It was against many in the world who were my opponents, and I stole hope from them or some testimony toward for them. And as he made this list, I became aware of the ripple effect of our irresponsibilities, of my irresponsibilities, the ripple effect of sin. We've all heard it. You've heard sermons on it, haven't you? You throw a stone in the water and the stone plummets down to the bottom, but leaves all these little circles that spread out right to the shore. And that, I think, is what happened with my actions and my failures and defeats. And so it was a humbling time. Duncan Ever was not trying to make me feel guilty, but simply to bring reality to my mind. I've thought about this many, many times, because when I counsel today, maybe there's an alcoholic or a drug user, and he thinks of the drug addiction or the alcohol problem as simply relating to him. "I'm trying to resist," he says, or "I don't want to do it because it will kill me or it will harm me." But if he would also think of whom else it would harm, it will help him to say no. Because we're not living to ourselves, are we? There are people out there that are living, that are going to experience it too. Somebody estimated, I don't know whether it's correct or not, that there are about 40 million alcoholics. Could that be in the United States? No, that doesn't sound right, but maybe it is. But think of how many families and how many friends they influence. Maybe five each, at least. 4 × 5 = 20, that's 200 million. That's unthinkable, isn't it? But that's how we are, and that's how things have that ripple effect. The ripples for me, though, were extra large, I tell you, because the media got a hold of it. Now, I'm not an important person. I'm not significant on the scale of public interest, but it was the subject, homosexuality, that was of interest. It's a hot-button issue, as you know, in the media. And so they grabbed a hold of it, and of course, this was all about somebody who was professing to be this and actually was revealed to be that, and the whole ball of wax, as you can imagine. And one paper after another got a hold of it. We thought things were quietening down, but they weren't. As they quietened down, another newspaper got a hold of it, and television got a hold of it. The Larry King Live Show was discussing it. It was devastating to us. I think I would have to say it was devastating more to my wife, my ex-wife Sharon, than to me, because it just exhausted her. She chose not to face the newspapers and what they said. I was foolish enough, one more foolishness, to think that I could straighten it out a bit by taking interviews from various media sources and making it a little more clear that it wasn't exactly what they thought they were accusing me of, and making it seemingly more clear, but it was not the case at all. They chose to hear what they wanted to hear, and of course, with a larger interview, there was larger space devoted to it in the newspapers, and it would have been better if I had just kept my mouth shut. So there was enormous humbling. It was an extremely humbling experience. Why didn't it devastate me? Why didn't it throw me overboard? Why didn't it make me turn away from Jesus? Why didn't it make me an atheist? There's no virtue in what I'm about to say, I assure you. But it was because of the message of the Book of Romans. I do not for one moment overestimate what I'm saying. When I learned years earlier that God counts the ungodly as righteous who believe in him, when I learned, by the way, that ungodly, that word ungodly, is translated in the King James Version as wicked. God justifies the wicked, that is, declares innocent the wicked who trust in him. When I learned that God reconciles us to himself while we are enemies, not reconciles us to himself once we are friends, but while we are enemies. When I learned, that's Romans 5 verse 10, when I learned Romans 3:28, that we contend that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law, these utterly mind-blowing, mind-expanding truths about who Jesus is for us and what he has done for us made me hang on, come hell or high water. It wasn't the virtue of my faith, it wasn't the virtue of some inner strength, not at all. It was the virtue of the message that Jesus gave me, the message that he gives you. No matter how deep and problematic your issues are, no matter how many times you have fallen down flat on your face and humiliated yourself, your family, and your friends, you can continue to trust. How many people have fallen away from God, fallen away from the church, because they sinned and failed, but not really because of that, but because they didn't know the message of grace for sinners and failures? That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I hope you will hear. Please, don't hear simply my humiliating, embarrassing failures. Don't listen to this loser. Rather, listen to the message of grace that this loser is telling you. And of course, I don't berate myself telling myself I'm a loser anymore. I know that Christ is my righteousness, and I know that everything that I have gone through had a purpose, and God organized it and arranged it. He didn't create evil. That was my responsibility. I had to do the apologizing, the repenting. I had to change course. But the truth is that God chose to allow these various events and then engineered the outfall, the fallout of them, so that these events would turn out for His glory. I was grieved for my children, and I don't know the full effect on them to this day. We didn't talk a lot about it. I hoped they hadn't heard a lot at school, but we were careful to nurture them and keep them safe under our wing. And perhaps I will know the results of all that in years to come when they talk more openly about it to me. Well, what do I say? I have nothing but those words again in Micah chapter 7, from a different translation this time. As for me, I look to the Lord for His help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord Himself will be my light. I will be patient as the Lord punishes me, for I have sinned against Him. But after that, He will take up my case and punish my enemies for all the evil they have done to me. The Lord will bring me out of my darkness into the light, and I will see His righteousness. That's a message not only for me. It's a message for you too. It's a message for all of us who have failed and humiliated ourselves and our families. Let us humble ourselves before God, and He will lift us up. You're welcome, if you like, to become a supporter of this broadcast. There are not large Christian corporations behind it. This radio broadcast has now been running 5 days a week for 17 years. And I praise God for that, and I also thank you for your support. This broadcast runs only because listeners are helped by it, trained by it, inspired by it, but principally trained, I hope. And therefore they say, I'm going to support this. I want it to keep going and I want others to hear it. So if you would like to do that too, you're welcome, very, very welcome. Please send your donation to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Now, if you'd like to make your donation by PayPal, go to our website, Faith Quest Radio, all one word, faithquestradio.com, where you see the donations button there. Click on that and you'll see the PayPal icon, faithquestradio.com. And you can hear the broadcasts any time of the day or night on that website, faithquestradio.com. If you're not familiar with PayPal, simply go to Google and look it up, and they'll show you how to join. There's no cost, of course, and it's a very convenient way of transferring donations or whatever other funds you have for other projects. And I will send you my Cook's Monthly Message as a thank you, unless you request no literature, please. My CD of the month is presently on the Book of Hebrews. We're coming near to the end of it, and then we'll be moving on to something else. So, and by the way, these donations are tax deductible. I will send you a receipt for that purpose in January of the new year. Thank you, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.